is your game plan? We hear this often when it comes to sports, and we know that teams prepare diligently all week long, and they have what they call a game plan. And they have, everybody has a specific task, and they're all working together for a common goal. And if they lose, they usually say they weren't able to execute their game plan. So tonight I want to talk to you just for a little bit. I have 29 minutes and 34 seconds left. Roy's got a clock on me, so praise God. So if we really plan on making heaven our home, we all need to have our own spiritual game plan. We have to have something in place that we are going to diligently do until Jesus Christ comes. You know, playing catch up in the fourth quarter when you're down 30 points usually doesn't work very well. Praise God. But how nice it is when everybody is executing. Everybody knows their position. Everybody executes the game plan. Praise God. Let's turn in the book of Romans to the 8th chapter. The Apostle Paul is writing, and it gives us, it's one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 8:35, talking about who can separate us from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. It almost sounds like we can't lose here, doesn't it? Praise God. There's a lot of there's a lot in that scripture that leads me to believe that God's got this stacked. You know, if we do a few simple basic things that we're going to make, someday we're going to leave this earth and we're going to walk into a whole new world, a supernatural world that was created by God for his people. Now, you've got to dwell on that and meditate on that and realize that this is not our home. We're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. And that we have to focus on what God has given us to do. And the best way to do that is to have your own personal game plan. You know, if we're immune to all these forces, how in the world do so many people seem to lose their salvation? If all these things cannot separate us from Jesus Christ, it seems kind of sad that so many people walk away from this and really never get started on the journey. Now let's turn with me to Luke, the 14th chapter and the 16th verse. Jesus almost seems to refute the statements made by Paul here. Luke 14:16. Then, this is Jesus speaking, then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at the supper to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought five oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, the hedges, and compel them to come out, that my house may be filled. And I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I believe both of the statements, both Jesus, the ones that Jesus made, and Paul are correct. Paul, I believe, was talking about people who had a game plan, who understood what was going on and understood that we're facing a human nature that's fallen. It's desperately wicked, the Bible says. We can't leave it alone for a second. It's like, have anybody here have weed problems in their garden besides me? Who plants the weeds? You blink your eyes and you go out there and they're just all over the place. And I go and I don't have a lot of space where I have flowers and everything, but I go and I try to pick these weeds out of there. And it seems like the next day I come back and there's a whole new batch there. And that's kind of the way it is with our walk with God. We have to have a plan. We have to have a weed picking plan. We need to understand this is a war. It is all out war. This is not a game. This is not something that can be taken lightly. If you don't take this seriously, my friend, you will find yourself one day walking away and you won't even know it. You'll be on a slippery slope. And God forbid, you know, I talk to a lot of young people that have different issues in life, and I'm just desperately reaching for those who have not put together their own spiritual game plan. Those of you that understand how this works, those of you that are progressing in the kingdom. You know, we come into the kingdom with all these issues and all these problems and all these things that are coming against us. And one by one, if we allow ourselves, God's going to take these things out of our life. It takes a little time to get unwound. We brought all these things in, but it takes time for God to get all of these things out of our life. Praise God. But if we don't diligently seek Him with all of our heart, we can't come after 3 months of not coming to church or not praying and suddenly there's the crisis. Lord, if you get me through this one, praise God, I guarantee you I'm going to really get a hold of you. I'm really going to make a difference. I remember when I was like 12 years old, 13 years old, I was in serious trouble and my mother took me to the probation officer's office. And it was up on the square this is back in the days when the Red Sea was just sick. It was a long time ago. And I didn't know anything about God, but I knew that probation officer, his name was Amborn, if he had the power to put me in school for boys, and that's where I was headed based on my record. So I'm standing there waiting for my mother outside the building, and I looked around, and I said, wow, there's a Catholic church. I'm going to go in and cut a deal. I got in there and I cried, oh God, I don't want to go to jail. If you get me out of this one, oh God, you know. Well, he got me out of that one. I didn't even get probation out of it. I should have went to jail. You think that made any difference with me? Because I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a game plan and nobody gave me a game plan to continue on the path. Praise God. And I want you to know that if you don't have a game plan tonight, I would pray with all my heart that you would get a hold of the Lord. They're so simple to make heaven your home. There's absolutely nothing on heaven, on earth, or beneath the earth that can keep you from this wonderful salvation. And not only that, the benefits here on earth are immeasurable. Where can you get joy like we receive from the Holy Spirit? Where can we get peace that passeth all understanding? I don't care what's in your bank account. I don't care what's going on in your life. Just the fact that you know the Creator of the universe, that is pretty cool. And He loves you and He cares about you and He wants a relationship with you. Wow. And He's given us the opportunity to get to know Him. In the Old Testament, they couldn't even come close to the mountain. They'd be speared with a spear. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Wow. He's not the God that I knew as a child. He was up there with lightning bolts, and He was ready to condemn you and ready to persecute you. Here's a God that is meek and lowly in heart. Oh, praise God, and He loves me. the one who said, let there be light. He wants to be my best friend. He wants me to speak to him in the morning. He wants me to cast all my cares upon him. That's crazy. Why would he want Rich Thomas's prayer? Why would he want all my burdens and all? It's just love. It's undefinable love that comes from the heaven above. Praise God. And what a great and wonderful thing. Now, if we could just get it through our heads that we need to get together a game plan, we need to understand that days come and days go and days come and days go. If we have something in place to capture the day, we're going to win, because one of these days we're going to take our last gasp of breath. Praise God. And we are going to be standing in the presence of God. Oh, whatever I have to do, I want to be saved. Anybody want to be saved here? Anybody here feeling like I'm feeling? You know, I look around and I read the newspapers and things are really crazy. Everything is upside down. And don't try to figure it out. Just find a Jesus Christ. The Bible says he is a strong tower and the righteous shall run into it. Don't wait around and try to understand this world. This world, my friend, is on a highway to hell. It's on a broad spectrum. Don't get hung up on anything but Jesus. Don't get hung up on anything but doing his will and his work. Get involved with the work of the Lord. Praise God. Get yourself a game plan together. Praise God. It will make the difference between life and death. Praise God. Every step we take, every breath we take, we're drawing closer, Pastor Roy, to eternity. We're drawing closer to that time when Jesus Christ, he may come back in our lifetime and he may not. But if you're waiting for him to come back, that's not the point. The point is to get a hold of him now. Seek the Lord when he can be found. Love him now. Become productive now. Don't say, someday I'm going to do something for God. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Seek him now while you still can. Praise God. Hebrews, excuse me, Hebrews 2:2. We have an appointment. Nobody escapes. Hebrews 2:2, the Bible says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We have been given such a wonderful promise from God to be able to live in his presence in a place called paradise or heaven on streets of gold where there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, none of the things that we're dealing with today. If we could only have a game plan. You're not going to just get there because that's where you want to go. You're going to have a plan to get there. Praise God. Hallelujah. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Praise God. And after much research and study, I learned this from Pastor Grant years ago. He has come to the conclusion that one out of every person born dies. That's pretty deep, isn't it? But it's something that you've got to understand. My sister recently was doing great. She's a supervisor at a large hospital down in Milwaukee area, and suddenly she's on her back. Suddenly she's in critical condition. Suddenly there's poison all over her body. Listen, we don't know if we have a tomorrow, but why not do something about it today? This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I want to rejoice and be glad in it. I don't want this to be a message of despondency and despair. I want to get a hold of God like I never have before. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, life is no more or less than a preparation for eternity. If you have a plan and you prepare for it, you will someday sit in the presence of the Almighty God and you will hear this from his lips. Well done, my good and my faithful servant. But listen, there are people who can sit within the confines of this building and they're not taking it seriously. They're not putting forth the effort they would if their boss said, listen, you better put together a game plan for your business or for the part of your business, of my business that you're operating under. I want to see that plan next week. I want to, on my desk, I want three or four things that you're going to do that's going to make this company better. I think we'd all probably do that. But one out of one are going to die. I sometimes think about that. I can't hardly grasp death, Pastor Roy, but I'm thinking, you know, this is what it's all about. As much as I rejoice with my grandbaby who's just 1 year old, I also understand that there will be a day when I will not be here anymore. I will not be here anymore. So everything that I planned on doing for God, it's too late. If you have latent talents and abilities that you know someday you're going to use, forget it. That's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. Why not do it now? Why don't you come out of the closet and declare to the world, I am a blood-washed, born-again Christian. I am separated, sanctified, and living the good life. Listen, the way of the transgressor is hard. It's difficult. I have been a transgressor. Someone said to me the other day, I just can't believe that you used to blah, 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 blah. I said, listen, I can't either, but I did. I was the crazy of crazies. I was Humpty Dumpty, Mr. Original Humpty. Now, that's the one they wrote the little rhyme about. But listen, if you put your efforts and your focus on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, you have a wonderful, marvelous life in front of you. Praise God. And when you can turn your eyes on Jesus, you'll get your eyes off of yourself. And you'll have the mind of Christ in you, and you'll begin to want to share what you have with everybody that's around you, because you'll be vibrating, you'll be smiling, you'll be full of spiritual energy. They call that the anointing. When you get to that point, you draw the anointing to you. You draw it from heaven. We've all felt it. When somehow you're sitting talking to somebody and suddenly you feel that Holy Ghost, and I love it when it happens, and you know that God's got this guy or this lady's number, and you don't have a clue what to say, and suddenly your mouth opens up, and suddenly you begin to say exactly what they need to hear. And many times you'll hear, how did you know that? Have you been talking to somebody? No, I'm just telling you what I'm feeling in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. There is a God, my friend, and he lives inside of you and he lives inside of me. We are the temple of the Most High God. We have everything we need to be successful. Praise God. Everything. If we have a plan. Praise God. In Proverbs 29:18, and this is a familiar passage of Scripture, but there's something else here that the Lord brought to my attention that I want to share with you. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And the second part of this is, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, I believe 100% in my pastor's vision, the vision statement of Calvary Gospel Church. But I want you to see something here in the last part of that. The word keepeth, is that still up there? He that keepeth law, to keepeth law, that word means to put a hedge around the word. To guard the word, to protect the word, to attend to the word. Take heed to yourself because of the word. That's the vision that I believe the psalmist was talking about. If you have a vision in your spirit about the word of God and your obligation and your relationship with Jesus Christ, that vision of knowing that God is in you, everybody say, God is in me. Anybody that couldn't say that, lift your hand up. I'll pray you through later. Praise God. We must put a hedge around God's word. You know, the scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you're having trouble with sin, get some scripture in your heart. Get some spiritual ammunition. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't sit there and say, well, I know the Bible gives me the right and the privilege to do this or that, but I'm not sure where it's at. I don't know where the address is at. Well, why don't you spend a little time and fill up your arsenal? Why don't you get your sword sharp? Why don't you allow God to work through you? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's amazing to me that it's been spoken at eternity, and it's still there. The Logos is still there. We have no choice if we're going to be successful to apply the Logos or the Word to our heart. Now, this vision really means we have to walk. If you and I ever walk away from the Word, and we're no longer seeking after God's Word, we're no longer seeking to keep His commandments, our life will quickly spin out of control. And that usually happens when somebody has not set a plan in place. They don't have any safeguards in their life. They don't have any growth partners. They don't have anybody they can share with. Praise God. The Bible calls it a slippery slope or backsliding. For those who do not have a vision, they don't have a game plan. You know, this is war. We all need to put a system in place that will keep us in the game. That will keep us in the game. Now, you're going to have bad days, you know, but you're not out of the game because you got too many good days behind you. You're going to get knocked down, but you're going to get up because you've got too many good days. You understand how this is, you know, the devil is relentless. He comes at you with everything he has. He's, you know, the Bible says that he's a worthy adversary. Don't ever think that you can take him on by yourself. But listen, Daddy, hello. See, I don't try to fight spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't want to try to take on Satan. I want to turn all my shortcomings and weaknesses and things that he's accusing me with over to the Lord. Cast all of your cares upon me because I care for you. Praise God. Which father amongst you would not come to their daughter or their son's rescue when they said, Daddy, would you help me? There's a bully outside and he's really, you know, he smashed me in the face. I said, excuse me, get the bully's dad over here right now. I want to show you what bully is. Praise God. let's go to, I'm way off here. That's hard to believe that I'm way off, but I am. So Paul writes us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you realize what that means? That you can actually know the perfect will of God? You know, sometimes we spin around in circles trying to figure out the will of God. But, you know, the scripture gives us a plan here. Just get out of the world. The world's a current and it goes diametrically opposed to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has a flow. The world has a flow. So if you let the world into your life, if you're more concerned about the newest movie that's out or the whatever you're involved in, listen, don't expect God to bail you out. It can't happen. You cannot be conformed to this world and be conformed to the Word of God. They're two diametrically opposed systems. So we believe with all of our heart, if we separate, you know, we talk about separation here at Calvary Gospel Church. Some people take offense to that. Well, nobody's going to tell me not to go to movies. Well, if you want to go to a movie and let the world into your life, go ahead. You know, nobody's going to stop you. Nobody's going to, you know, we don't have movie guards that will say, oh, aisle 16, looks like Pastor Thomas is over there. Ooh. No, this is common sense religion is, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, both with your eyes and with your heart and with your ears, the type of music you listen to. All these things have a bearing on your relationship with God. If you're having trouble, be not conformed to this world. God is not willing that any one person should perish. He's on our side. He's in our camp. He is waiting for us to relate to him. He loves us with an unconditional love. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave them. I don't know about you, but I'm in the fourth quarter of this ball game, Pastor Roy. That means that I've played three quarters, been here 32, going on 33 years. Some of you are just entering the game. You got to get a game plan. You have to get serious about this. You will never make it to the final quarter. Trust me when I tell you this, unless you have a plan that you operate every single day. Now you think, well, do I really have to pray every day? Only if you want to stay. Brother Libby said, if you pray, you'll stay. If you fast, you'll last. If you don't, you won't. That's pretty good theology. Prayer is indicative of your relationship with Jesus. I want to get to know him better. I want to be more like him. I want his mind to be my mind. I want my thoughts to be his thoughts. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Praise God. How about in Madison? Are they calling us the premier Christian church here? Or what are they calling us? Listen, the next dimension for Calvary Gospel Church, I believe with all my heart, is supernatural signs and wonders. And the reason being is some of you have looked at your game plan and said, you know what, I got to take this up a notch. I was praying a half hour a day. Now I'm going to take it to an hour. I was praying an hour. I'm going to take it to 2 hours. I fast one day a week. I'm taking 2 days. I don't care what it takes, but I want to be alive when somebody walks up here, gets out of their wheelchair, when blind eyes are open, when deaf ears are open. Listen, it's got to happen. It's in the Word. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. We are in the midst of the worst days in human history when it comes to sin. The devil has blown all the doors off of hell. Everything that's pouring out of his kingdom is filth and corruption. And if you look at the world, don't read the newspaper. You'll be so depressed you'll want to. You can't move to another country because everybody else is messed up too. I know, let's hide in the kingdom of God, Pastor Roy. Let's get so deep into Jesus Christ that no matter what happens, no matter who says what, no matter what country sets off a nuclear bomb, no how many people are slaughtered, I can lift up my hands and say, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, God, for all things work to the good of those who love the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. The devil's on your trail. And he's seeking for those who he can devour. He's looking for those people who have neglected prayer. Well, who else would he look for? He's not gonna attack the prayer warrior. He's gonna check your involvement. I mean, if you were the devil, wouldn't you be looking for the weak, the strays, the people who are here but not here? Wouldn't you be looking for a way or looking for someone? Like the Bible says that the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Listen, I don't want to be lion's food. Listen, I want to win this thing. I'm a scrapper. I like a good fight. And listen, he'll give you a good fight. But you've got to get in the game. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's looking for people who have dust on their Bible. Read the Bible and you have a hay fever attack. Hallelujah. Then we have those who are swallowed up with the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. But you know what? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you have need of are going to come. Your heavenly Father knows your needs. He knows your rent payment. He knows your car payment. He knows your problem. He understands your weaknesses and all the things that you struggle with. Why don't you just hand them over to him? Praise God. Why not? You've had enough time with him. You haven't done nothing with him. Sorry. You know, there's the devil's looking for people who love to worship God. They love to worship God, but they don't pray to that God. They love worship services, but their prayer life is almost non-existent. So you think the devil's going to mess with them? Not at first. He's waiting for a opportune time to defeat you. And when he defeats you, he's going in for the kill. He's going in to destroy you. This is not a little skirmish thing with him. Everybody has been analyzed here. Everybody that's in this room, everybody in the planet, and particular those of us who are called by his name, we are a special threat to his kingdom because we have been given the truth. Anybody have the truth here? Has the truth set you free? If the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed. You'll be able to speak to anybody at any time, at any place, because the Spirit that's within you is the Spirit that said, let there be light. Woohoo! I'm excited about it. I'm feeling better about the Lord, I'm telling you, in the last 3 to 4 months than I have in years, because something broke off of me at camp, and I don't know what it was, but when it left, I got a hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. I'm just loving this refreshing. And it's available to anybody. If you've been down and out, get down on your knees. Kick the devil out of your life. Don't allow yourself to become depressed. Don't allow yourself to listen to the voices that are calling you names and calling you insignificant and all that business. Praise God. You know, we have to have a game plan. I think most of you are understanding the Calvary Gospel Church has a vision statement. Has anybody read it recently? Praise God. Here it is. It is a dream of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with hundreds of thousands of residents in Dane County. Wow. A place where we can find, where they can find Bible salvation, which is repentance, baptism by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. What a great dream. It is a dream of a place where the hurting, the depressed, the frustrated, and the confused can find love, acceptance, help, hope, forgiveness, guidance, and encouragement. It is a dream of welcoming 20,000 worshipers. 20,000 worshipers of every race and culture into the fellowship of our church family, loving, learning, laughing, and living in harmony together. It is a dream of developing people to spiritual maturity through Bible studies, small groups, seminars, retreats, and a Bible school for our members. Some of these things have already come to pass. We have Purpose Institute now. We have classes. There's a lot of things that have already happened since we put this out. It is a dream of sending out hundreds of missionaries and church workers all around the world and empowering every member for a personal mission. That's what's going to make the difference. Your personal mission. Your personal game plan. See, Calvary Gospel Church has a vision statement, but your personal game plan cannot be separate from the overall church game plan. If you are independently thinking that you don't need to submit to the Pastor Roy or Pastor Grant, you are mistaken. This vision statement, if it came from God, which I believe it did, means that we are under the authority of these two men. It's true. And if you want to receive what God has for you, if you really want a God-ordained ministry, you are going to have to get under the umbrella of Calvary Gospel Church's vision statement. Somehow your personal game plan has got to fit somewhere in this vision statement. And you need to review it, and you need to put your vision statement, your game plan out next to it. How am I doing, Lord? How am I doing? Am I making it happen? Am I winning people to God? Am I a witness? Am I a good father? Am I a good husband, wife, whatever it might be? Praise God. Everything we say and do should relate to this vision statement. And when we do this, guess what happens? The glory and the blessings of God will fall upon you, because then you are in submission to God's authority. Hallelujah. We have a lot of people over there going through John Bevere's class. That's a wonderful class. If you've never been through that, you should really go and understand. If you really want to be blessed of God, then you must submit yourself to the authority God's put over you. Husbands, wives, children. I mean, there's a chain of command that God works through. And if you're not under the chain of command that God works under, you can't win. Your marriage won't last. It can't. It's impossible. If children will not respect their parents, guess what happens? They're not under the authority of the parents. And if they're not under the authority of the parents, guess what happens? Then you go right into a kingdom that you don't even know is there. And you put yourself right out in a spirit wheel that world that's filled with spiritual wickedness in high places, waiting for you to step out of that spiritual protection, that bubble that God has put over us. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Our personal game plan, as I mentioned, our vision must agree with the church's. You know, the problem sometimes, and I've seen this particularly in the sports arena, and if this offends you, I'm sorry, but you see sometimes people with a lot of talent on the team, but there are some people that won't submit to the game plan. They have their own agenda. They have their own thing going on, and it's all about me. I don't have a burden for this ministry. I am a, oh, your hands won't pick up a toilet bowl brush, or how's that work? Listen, this is, no matter what, when I came out of the world, Pastor Roy, I was so happy. I started cleaning toilets and painting walls, and I'm just singing, whistling, and thanking my God. I once was blind, but now I see. I've been filled with the omnipresent Spirit of God. Woo-hoo. Listen, do everything that you do. Do it in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, over the last 32 plus years I've been at Calvary Gospel Church, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of wonderful people, including these men here, and I look around the congregation. There's just some tremendous team players here. And I've also witnessed and worked around some people that had their own agenda. Didn't make any difference what the church was doing. It really didn't. All they were concerned about is their agenda. And they refused to submit to the church's vision. And they always in contention with somebody or something. Always had an issue. Always in the pastor's office. Always sowing discord among the brethren. And then suddenly, they're not there anymore. Turn with me to Psalm 73:17. I didn't understand this until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. Notice here who set them on slippery places. Thou didst set them in slippery places. People begin to play with God, and because God doesn't execute judgment swiftly, sooner or later, God will put you on a slippery slope. And suddenly, in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. Psalms 73:19. Suddenly consumed with terrors. Praise God. As a dream when one waketh, so, O Lord, when thou wakest, thou shalt despise their image. For lo, verse 27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. You know how dangerous it is to be far from God? You realize the chance that people take every day because they will not pray, they will not seek God, they will not study the word of the Lord. Those that are far away from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. I don't know what it would take to end up in this position, but why not stay real close to God? Why don't we wrap our arms around God and say, you know what, Daddy? I like it right here by your feet. I want to be close to you. I want to talk to you every day. I want to read your word every day. I want to keep your commandments. Whatever it takes, Lord, help me. Give me strength. Show me your loving kindness. Look through the Psalms. There's just so many beautiful prayers. And cause me to understand you. Help me to be what I'm supposed to be. I'm coming today, Lord, to be loaded daily with my benefits. Every day, God's got something for you. Every day, he's got a treasure, a nugget for you. Whether it be a spiritual truth or a blessing. But you know what? If we don't come into his presence and lift up our hands and begin to worship him and then begin to pray and seek God, I wonder what God thinks. When Psalm 68:18, I think it is, the Bible says that God daily loads us with benefits. You know, those of you that have full-time jobs and you're working towards a pension, you usually don't get your benefits until the end of the journey. God says, oh no, that's not the way I do it. Every day I want to give you something. Every day, if you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God said, that's what I'm looking for. That's it. There's somebody with a plan. There's somebody that understands human nature is despicable, desperately wicked. No hope without God's Holy Spirit. No absolute hope unless you can get a hold of God. No way that you're going to make it to heaven. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Some people think that they can set their own agenda. I've heard people say, well, I don't really have a burden for this. I don't have a burden for that. Oh. Boy, I mean, in other words, then you're saying that you don't have a burden for this, but it's within the confines of this mission statement, this vision statement. So in other words, you're not then under authority. We have to be, you know, it's not our nature to love people. It's not natural. Human nature diametrically opposes loving one another. This is why I believe Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you should love one another as I have loved you. That sounds so simple. Why don't you love me then? These are things that can only happen if you have a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. This can only happen when you are falling so deeply in love with Jesus that you begin to think like he does, you begin to talk like him, you begin to respond like him, and you begin to love like him. Hallelujah. Does this make any sense here? Listen, this is real life. You realize in a group this size, I wonder how many of us are going to make heaven our home. I think everybody in their right mind would say, I want to go to heaven. Wouldn't you? We'll have a show of hands here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if that's the case, then what is your game plan? What are you doing to assure yourself a place in God's heaven? We have to be without spot or blemish. I don't know about you. I got a few spots on me. I got some blemishes on me. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. You say, I could never be perfect. Yes, you can. Every day you can get up and say, Lord, wash me with your blood. Forgive me of my sin. Start all over again. We have to understand he'd have never put that in the book unless he was serious about it. So you can't let things well up inside of you. You can't let hatred. You can't let bitterness. None of these things. If your life, your ministry does not exalt the God of creation, if it doesn't fall under the confines of this mission, vision statement, friend, you need to get another vision statement, game plan for yourself. You need to set some spiritual goals. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Paul said we are running a race. I like to call it the gauntlet. You know, a gauntlet is the Indians used to use this, and it was used to determine whether somebody was telling a lie or whatever, but it was two lines of people. They all had clubs and things, and your job, should you decide to accept it, would be to run down that gauntlet to prove your innocence or your guilt. If you made it to the end, that means that you are not guilty, if there was no way they could determine. I would be running the other way, getting a machine gun, but this is what they did. But this world that we live in is a gauntlet. It's deadly. It's filled with opportunities to lose your soul. Relationships, some very seemingly not sin-type things, but they can grasp you. They can get a hold of you. Your hobby can become sin unto you because it grabs you to the point where you cannot even think about anything else but your toys and your things that you want to do. You can't pray for 10 minutes, but you've got all this time to do other things that you like to do. So you don't have a game plan. God's not impressed with anything we do. The best we can hope for at the end of this journey, if we do everything right, is well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into my presence. He's not giving out gold stars every day because you witnessed or prayed someone through or whatever. He's looking for people who are faithful. We have a lot of faithful people here at Calvary Gospel Church. We have people that have been coming for years who have put their shoulder to the wheel, who are desperately seeking to improve their relationship with God. And I want to be one of those. I don't want to be a castaway, praise God. You know, there's a lot of the world is kind of filled with crazy people that seemingly, I don't know if I read the scripture. Did I read 1 Corinthians 9:24? Probably not. Okay. Let me just back up here. I'm getting so excited, I'm beside myself. 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receives the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Praise God. We're running a race, but the thing that I noticed today as I'm reading that scripture, he said, run. In other words, if you're not in the race, how can you win? Everybody that runs is going to win if they play the race properly. But if you don't run, if you go fishing, you don't take your fishing pole, you're not going to catch any fish. That's pretty deep theological stuff here. But you know, what's happened to our world? This is not a game. Now, they did do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore, so run, not as uncertainly so fight, not as one that breatheth the air, but I keep my body and bring it under subjection, least by any means. This is a very frightful scripture to me. When I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Hey, let's get into the race. If you're in the race, if you're running, if you have a plan, if you've paced yourself and understand you have to race, this race is going to take patience, is going to take endurance. Let's finish the race. Roy, how many people do we know that have started the race and they decided they didn't want to race anymore? The cares of this life, the deceitfulness, it all got a hold of them and suddenly there were no more. Praise God. You know, this world is really a spectator world. It's a communication world. Everybody's twittering and doodling and whatever that stuff is. I used to write letters, but now everybody twitters and texts and stuff like this. I know it all starts with a T. I'm just not sure how to do it yet. But listen, are you Twittering to Jesus? Are you texting to Jesus? Are you spending as much time on your knees calling on the name of the Lord than you are on your computer? Just a thought. You know, the world's filled with couch potatoes. There are people, and I call it spectator mentality. They love to watch other people perform. They want to be part of the team, but they want to put any skin in the game. They can sit for hours and watch football. They can sit for hours and feel good about, and I love football, but listen, it's just a game. They're multimillionaires running around laughing because if they get hurt, they get to sit for the rest of the year, get paid millions of dollars to do absolutely nothing. Somehow that doesn't make sense to me. But these couch potatoes, there are people who are worshippers of men and women, idol worshippers, they call them. They say, oh, so-and-so is a idol. The teenagers just love this idol. You notice how you go to a football game or something, and everybody's got a jersey on. Everybody wants to have the Stars jersey on because that's the guy that, until you find out he's been taking steroids for 10 years. So you can burn your brown t-shirt or whatever it is. Listen, these people are just people who happen to have athletic ability. It doesn't make them bad, but it certainly doesn't make them good. What is your game plan? And what I'm believing here is that this spectator mentality has a firm grip on the evangelical church world. We have, through the media, we have millions upon millions of people every single Sunday sitting on their couch, drinking coffee, listening to a washed down gospel that has no power to save them, but it gives them the feel good, what's in it for me thing. And they've been duped into thinking this is religion, this is spirituality, this is going to get me into heaven. Just at the end of the service, my friends, and you are my friends, if you'll just close your eyes and let Jesus Christ come in as your personal Savior and send $29.95, we will pray for you. Does that seem kind of bogus to you? Don't you like a good apostolic hoedown when the Spirit of God comes into the building and you can't contain yourself and people begin to jump and shout and twist about and go through all kinds of things and realize this is a spiritual worship that's pleasing unto God, dancing in the Spirit, walking around, lifting up your hands and allowing the Spirit of God to, you worship Him any way you feel the Spirit of God is leading you. Praise God. We'd be thrown out of 99.9% of all the churches in this community. Now, the thing that I asked myself, if God returned tonight. I mean, we know He's coming back. We just don't know when. No man knows the day or the hour. Well, let's just say, for sake of, if God comes tonight, are you 100% sure that by executing your game plan for the time you've been into the kingdom of God until right now, that you are ready to meet Him in the air? Are you ready? I don't know about you, but when I get this, I start thinking about that. I say, and then the next question, if there's anything in my life, any bitterness, any grudge, any falsehood, anything that would cause me not to make it, God, please reveal it to me. Show me. Show me the real me. If the heart's desperately wicked, who could know it? How in the world could you possibly say that you're ready to meet God if you don't even know your own heart? We can't unless we have some fruit in the basket. Praise God. Hallelujah. What if God should tear you to say for another 20 years? Are you prepared to continue the same game plan? The dynamics of the church is changing. I think you all understand that. We have two pastors now. Love both of these men, but things are in the process of changing. So how are you going to accommodate for this change? Are you willing to step up to the plate and say, hey, Pastor Roy, I'm ready to give you my all. I'm ready to support you 100%. I just did that a couple weeks ago. And I went up and I said, Roy, I just want you to know, I love your father and I love you. And as long as you're sitting in a chair as a pastor, I will give you 100%. I will watch your back. I will lift up your hands. I will do whatever I can do to be an asset to your ministry. I want to be an extension of your ministry. And I mean that because I did the same thing for his father, or tried to. And I don't ever look back. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, in your game plan, you need to have a surrender clause. Because everything that you own, or you think you own, you don't. The only thing that you own are the things that you're willing to give to God. If you think that's your house and you, everything in your life revolves around your house, guess what? God can take that house away. But when you say, Lord, this is your home. This is your house. I'm just making payments on your house and you're providing me with the money to make those payments. God will bless that. He'll give you, you can have possession temporarily. You have children. Years ago, and I think I've told this story before, Renee was probably 2 years old, and oh, she was the apple of my eye. I loved her so very much, and I started having dreams, and in the dream, it was God was speaking to me, and he was telling me, he said, I'm going to take your child. And I said, no. No, 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 no. This is not of God. This is of the devil. This is, you know. And it went on for some time, and I wept and I cried and I prayed and I fasted, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. God spoke to me and said, didn't you dedicate her to the Lord, to me? I said, yeah. He said, she doesn't belong to you. She belongs to me. All of a sudden, I thought, oh, my goodness. Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I give my daughter to you. I think she was 2 years old at the time. I'll give her to you. I said, you own her anyway, but I'm acknowledging the fact that you own her. Do what you will do with her. In the moment I prayed that prayer, listen, something lifted off of me. I felt the peace. I felt the joy. And I was realizing, I don't know what would have happened if I would have continued to fight it, because I fought it for a long time. You know, God, you don't own anything, Roy. You don't own absolutely anything. And if you think you do, just turn the corner sometime, and you'll find yourself in the midst of the biggest trial, perhaps, that you could have avoided. You know, God always requires something from us that we're not willing to give. Isn't that something? There's so many things in our lives spiritually that we want to, well, I can give this. I'm a good musician, so I can sing. I can do all this. Praise God. But listen, God wants those things that you're not willing to give. I'm going to go down to Luke 18:22. I'm out of time here. Jesus talking to the rich ruler. And the rich ruler told him all these wonderful things that he'd been doing. And he'd kept the Ten Commandments. And the one thing, Luke 18:22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Boy, he did everything right. One thing. God's looking for that one thing in your life. Sell all that thou hast and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now don't you wish that you only had one thing that you're not willing to give God? I mean, I don't know about you, but there's several things in my life that I'm kind of holding on to. But guess what? When you open up your hand and give them, it's not just money, it's time. It's what's in your heart. It's how you're receiving the kingdom of God. How is my personal relationship with Jesus Christ? How can I gauge it? How can I know? Look at your fruit. Are you winning souls? Are you participating in the kingdom? Are you becoming alive and you're becoming more alive in Jesus' name? Praise God. Don't you wish that somehow God would open up your heart and just tell you exactly what you need to do? He'll do that as you give yourself to Him, as you become one with Him. See, there's no way that evil can get close to God. So He'll expose these things to you. You know, and it, you just have to take that. You can put them like Achan did under the tent, but you haven't dealt with them. You've got to take them out, look at them. This is my anger. This is my lust. This is, you know, lust doesn't just come in physical lust. It's lusting after things. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All these things have to be contended with. And once you give them to the Lord, then He releases another spurt of spiritual energy in you. And you never have to go back to the place that you were. It's like stretching, you know, you can always keep that stretch. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm only halfway through my notes, so you might as well stand. I did kind of get a little bit, you know, it all boils down to this, that your game plan should have three components. First, the Word. Everything comes out of the Word. Everything we're supposed to do comes out of the Word. So that's the number one thing that you should have on your game plan. Your vision. If you want to become successful in God's kingdom, you're going to have to study the Word. You're going to have to devour the Word. His Word's forever settled in heaven. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't have to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't know what His commandments are, you're still going to be held accountable for them. So the Word is the first foundation that you have to have in your game plan. Do I have a system that I'm reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, have a subject out, and I'm studying? Secondly, pray. Prayer, 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 prayer. Pray without ceasing. Every day is a prayer day. Every day is an opportunity to get to the Master of the Universe and allow yourself some spiritual growth. Fasting. Oh, don't you just love to fast? No, I don't love to fast. But boy, it has such great benefits to it when you let your flesh know who is in control. I love God more than I do the pizza, the cheeseburger. And it takes a couple days of fasting to lose your hunger. But once you do, you draw really close to God. If your game plan is centered on these three things and you've put something into place that causes you to feel terrible when you didn't pray, feel terrible when you didn't study the Word, and missing a fast day, we have 52 chances a year to pray one prayer a week, one fast day a week. You're going to make a straight path into the kingdom of God. You're going to be on that straight, narrow gate. You're not going to be on the broad way. See, what we don't understand is that we are like a man in a gym who's exercising. You exercise these basic spiritual principles. These are fundamental principles, but they're so important that if you don't write them down, you don't measure your growth, if you don't understand the importance of having a game plan, you could miss prayer for 2 weeks and not even phase you. You can stop studying the Word and not even know that you're backsliding. You know, it's been said by behavior psychologists that In the world of business, there's only a few things that keep the difference between being successful and unsuccessful is usually just two or three things. People are willing to do a few basic things that others are not willing to do. They will become a success at any definition of success. We're talking three little things here. We're talking about faithfulness. We're talking about doing these religiously. Planting that seed, planting a habit in you that cannot be broken. That's what a game plan is. Praise God. It's been said that failure to have a plan is like planning to fail. Failing in the kingdom is a very terrible thing. From the standpoint, you don't know. You will never know that you're so far removed. It's so difficult, if not impossible, to try to catch up. See, one of these days, all of our freedoms are going to be gone. Everything that we're doing here probably will be outlawed. All the things that we're taking for granted, they're not going to be here. May not in my generation, but there's going to be a generation coming. We know that. It's in the Word of God. This is part of the Scripture. We need to understand that. Why not be prepared? Why not be ready to meet this challenge that's coming? This altar is open. I'm hoping that I was not depressing to anybody. I just would love to see people get a plan. Those of you that are successful in business, you had to have a business plan, didn't you? You just didn't go in and put a shingle up. And those of you that finished college and went on to engineering school, you didn't just somehow happen. Roy didn't become a journeyman plumber just by saying, no, I want to be a plumber. I learned how to spell it. I guess that's all I got to do. No, he had to have a plan. He had to have something going on that would propel him from where he was at to where he wanted to be. So he methodically went step by step by step by step. Praise God. If you're here tonight and you've never been selected in the draft, I want you to know this isn't fantasy football. God will accept you on His team if you will be so gracious as to just come up and receive whatever He has for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a place for every one of us in God's kingdom. What an opportunity. What an opportunity.